In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I want to begin by sharing a thought from the meditation we had at the rectory last night for our night prayers. And it's obviously a very Christmassy theme to that. And the writer of the meditation started off by saying, or by reminding the reader, the listener, of the infinite gap that had come about because of the sin of Adam and Eve. That's what sin did. Instead of this very close relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, where they were his adopted children, they felt that very deep friendship with God. They even walked with God. They didn't see him in his full glory. It wasn't the beatific vision, but they had a presence of God. And how wonderful was that relationship, that closeness. And when they turned their backs on God, this infinite distance now came about between them and God. They lost that most precious thing. And that's the way things stood. But here's the beautiful thought that it says, in this infinite gap, a baby appeared. A baby. I know, and it sounds startling, doesn't it? I guess it's as startling as if we were walking out in the wilderness somewhere or there was just nothing around and you come across a baby, a live baby. Well, we know who this baby is. This baby came to be in the gap, stand in the gap between mankind, which had become so unreconciled, so far away from God, so removed from God. And the reason that baby is there is to bring about this reconciliation, to close the gap, to bring men, mankind, back to God. And of course, he would complete that with his death on Calvary. Also in this gap, even before he was born, someone else had to be there. This infinite gap. That was the most pure Virgin Mary. You have to have the mother before you can have the child. And this points again to the immense role. We can't comprehend fully what God has asked our Blessed Mother to do. His mother needed to be at least as perfect and pure and sinless as our first parents were. At least. And of course, she was far more than Adam and Eve. She had to be the most perfect human being, because God created his own mother. So she appears in this infinite gap first. And then he, as St. Paul says, St. Luke says, since this is in the Acts of the Apostles, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the mediator. He also wanted Mary to be a mediatrix, and we see, and we talked about this in December, how God has made use of many mediators or mediatrixes, you might say, throughout history. God works that way. But remember, the main and the only truly effective person in and of himself that could mediate, that could help bridge this gap is our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who rejects him cannot be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. So there he is in the crib, shivering, crying, feeling pain. But what is he doing? He's mediating for us with his heavenly Father. He's interceding for us in his human nature. He's God himself, but he's interceding, mediating, redeeming us. One of the beautiful lines of the Christmas carols, "Hail the dawn of redeeming grace." There it is, already being shown in the manger. So we're reminded again of the evil of sin. Sin is what separates us from God. Our Lord reconciled us. He's reconciling us with his Father. But again, sin is what puts that distance again between us and God. Mortal sin in a complete way, venial sin in a lesser way. And so this is why we must strive for holiness. We must strive to overcome those things that displease him, that interfere with his redeeming, mediating influence upon us. We've just begun the new year. We know all about making resolutions. New Year's Day feels like such a new beginning, and it is. So hold to those resolutions to conquer sin in your daily life. Remember, that's what separates you from God. And Jesus did all this suffering and redeeming and mediating for us. But that doesn't mean that salvation is just handed to us on a golden platter. We have to do our part. We have to labor. We have to sacrifice. We have to pray. We have to conquer sin. I wanted to suggest a couple of thoughts I have come across in the years in how to strive spiritually. And you've heard these from me before, but it's the beginning of the year. Good to hear it again. And this is actually a tip I got from a time management system. I think it's the Franklin Covey method of planning out your life so you're living a proactive life, not a reactive life. Needless to say, proactive life is so much more productive. Reactive, it's just not a good way to live, but you know, we have to plan things. But anyway, they're all about resolutions. And one of the ideas that was conveyed is don't put your resolutions in the future tense, put them in the present tense. So instead of saying, "I will pray the rosary daily," what's even stronger is, "I pray the rosary daily." You see the immediacy. There's a greater power there by putting it in the present tense. If you say, "I will do it at some point," well, then there's always that possibility of, well, tomorrow I'll do it. And then when tomorrow comes, well, I'll do it the next day. But if you said, "I'm doing it, I pray the rosary daily," then you have to do it today. Or, "I will read," some people make resolutions about reading good books. "I will read one book a month." Or some may be more ambitious than that. "I will read a book every week." Put it in the present tense. "I am the kind of person that reads a book monthly. I read weekly a book," if that's what your goal is. So keeping goals in mind is very important, as we know. That's what motivates us. if we lose sight of the goal, then our energy starts to fail. And another point that needs to be remembered over and over again, be faithful in the little things. It's so easy to neglect the little things, our smaller spiritual obligations. And when that happens, we start slip-sliding downhill. And then if we're not faithful to those little things, then we become less chance of being faithful in the greater things. So on this day of the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, where we are honoring the name of our mediator, redeemer, intercessor, the greatest one of all, because he is the God-man, let us remember we need to grow in our love for him and entrust our lives to him. There's so many things that we could be worried about and concerned about, this world in which we live. But what never changes is the need for us to love God and to love our neighbor for his sake. Let us honor his name. There's so much power in this name that sadly is disrespected and misused by so many, but we want to honor this name. It represents him who was that little baby that came to be in that huge gap, and he brought about the closure of that gap between us and God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.